it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Minutes, and again, I mean, based on the population, girl, we should put the hockey arena here. Hiram is where the new Thrash is, whatever they're going to be called, based on population density. Sorry, Cherokee. Sorry, Forsyth. It's coming here.
No doubt. By the way, we're going to be here until 6. It's good to see our man. We talk about him all the time. He looks like Kyle Pitts. He really does.
And he's Kyle's size. So when guys, there's Kyle Pitts. Go, guys go, holy cow, Kyle's here in a Falcon jersey. Should he be eating onion rings and drinking a beer?
Should he be getting ready for the game?
Right.
Tinker's out here. Coach just showed up.
Hey, Coach.
Good to see y'all, man. It's good to have y'all out here hanging out with us. Tomorrow we're up at Flowery Branch, by the way. We will talk to Coach and get the latest on the Falcons injury update. And also, we will find out what the situation is with A.J. Terrell. He's going to practice, but I just, you know, again, until they tell us he's going to play.
Still not a done deal.
Yeah, that's what I need to hear. And by the way, we need him. We need all of our guys out there come Monday night at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. 404-726-0929. Is Barber ready to go, Big O?
All right.
Then we got to talk to Barber. Let's talk some dogs. Barbara, how are you doing today?
It's Wednesday. What are you doing calling me on a Wednesday?
We missed you. We wanted to talk to you early. Can we do that?
Everybody says they listen to me on Thursday. Nobody's listening today.
Oh, no. That's not true.
Everybody's listening, Barbara. You know this is the biggest show. You know everybody's listening. So let me ask you, before we get into this Auburn stuff, because I know you got a bunch of Auburn stories for us and talking about Vince and you guys meeting there. But Kentucky, dogs handled their business. They got out to a fast start, Barbara. And Mike and I, you talked about it last week. We got to start fast, and they finally did last week.
They did. They did. And it was a great game. You could almost have a drink and eat your dinner and not worry about it. You knew you had it. It was great. We had a good time watching it.
I think
Kentucky was, from reading everything, I really thought Kentucky was a little bit better than that.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. They didn't show it. They didn't. Uh-uh. And give credit to the dogs. I mean, like, defensively, I thought the dogs did a really good job of shutting down what Kentucky was trying to do. But I also thought, and Mike and I talked about this, like, overcoming – the offensive line issues, and this is what concerns me, Barbara, as we talk to Barbara Dooley here, brought to you by Kroger guys on Dukes and Bell. This offensive line going into the Auburn game, but they showed really no effects of that in the Kentucky game.
None. Zero. I thought the whole team looked great.
Okay. You happy with Gunnar Stockton, with your granddaughter's boyfriend?
Honey, I'm still in there with old Gun Gun. You're right. He's amazing. He is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, he gets better every week, don't you think?
Well, let me ask you.
It's going to be a tough test this week. We'll talk about that in a second.
It is. But, Barbara, you know, the thing is, what they're asking him to do, and, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about this. I feel like he could be doing more. I feel like Bobo is not all the time allowing him to throw the football down the field as much as I'd like to see. Am I seeing this wrong? What do you think?
I think he could probably do that, but he is really a good runner.
Okay.
And you've watched him run. You've watched him read signals and signs. And I think Bobo's using him really well in most cases. So I'm not going to criticize Bobo, let me tell you that.
Right.
I'm not going to criticize Gunner. I'm not going to do that. But we'll see. Auburn is going to be the test.
Well, I was going to say, Barbara, as Barbara Dooley joins us, next time you have Gunner over and you make cookies, just tell him he's got to pull the trigger sooner when he's going up against those zone defenses.
Well, the darn Lions should be protecting him. Come on.
The Lions should be protecting him.
Hey,
they
Barbara.
Protecting him. That's right. That's what the line is for.
Vince was 11-13-1 versus the Tigers in his time there, obviously coaching the Dogs. But for those who've not heard the story, can you repeat it for us? Because I love hearing it, how you guys met at Auburn and that experience for you and him.
Well, he was my faculty advisor at church. So the first Sunday I went to Auburn, he eyed me. And I went to a meeting, and he said he looked around the room and thought I needed advising more than anybody else. But anyway, it took us 4 years to fall in love. Trust me. I was much more in love with somebody else for a long time.
Right.
But he was a hell of a recruiter. And he got me. The man got me.
Were you dating a player at Auburn that he was coaching?
Yep. Yep. And
did
my boyfriend went up to him one day and said, "Coach, I would appreciate it if you'd leave my girl alone." And Vincent said, "Well, I respect that, and I will." So he started calling my roommate for a date and asking her to bring me. And
wow.
I went, "No, that isn't going to work either." But anyway, my boyfriend and I broke up. So he said he always was second fiddle.
Oh, jeez.
But he wasn't. He really wasn't. I just grew up. It took me a while to grow up. That's all.
He was first string in your heart.
What?
I said he was first string in your heart. He was the first team.
He was always that, and I didn't know it. You know, it's like a coach that doesn't know your talent, and he doesn't play you a lot. Then all of a sudden, he finds you. Well, I found him, and I was a senior by the time I realized that's who I wanted. So anyway, long story short, 62 years we made it together.
Wow.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Is that not amazing?
Yes, ma'am.
It is.
Anyway, I was thinking about this show, and I know so many of the people listening to us were not even around in 1986. But that was the game that we called Between the Hoses. Have you heard about that game?
When they turn the hoses on the fans at Jordan-Hare?
Yeah. Tell us about it.
Yeah, absolutely unbelievable. We went into that game being a 10.5-point underdog, and we had a quarterback named James Jackson, and the Monday before the game, his grandfather died, and they were burying him on Friday. So Vincent gave him the whole week off and told him to get to Auburn Saturday morning. The game was at night. We waited all day Saturday, and James never showed. He decided he didn't want to come. So have you heard this story?
No.
Okay. So we had another quarterback, Wayne Johnson, at the time, who had only played actually – I think the year before, a couple of games, but he hadn't played in like 2 years. But he had to start. And we had a lot of injuries on that team. I will never forget. We had a lot of knee injuries. And the morning of the Auburn game, Ugga, our mascot, fell off the bed in the hotel room and tore his ligaments in his left leg up. So we had to call in Otto, his substitute, to be the mascot that night.
Wow.
Okay, this is how the game started. It's a night game, and the rivalry is intense. Georgia hates Auburn. Auburn hates Georgia. Not quite as bad as Georgia Tech. But according to history, it's the oldest rivalry in the South. So, Auburn is contending for the SEC championship, and we are not doing well. We have lost a few games, and we're not in any contention for anything. And we beat Auburn. Well, we were, I think we were 3-2 in the SEC, and we had just lost to Florida. So we were petrified that we were not going to get in a bowl bid. We felt like we had to beat Auburn. Well, they are so far better than us that year, and we upset them. It was unbelievable. Of course, the Georgia people went absolutely nuts after the game. I was a good girl and stayed in my seat. The students rushed the field, and Kermit Perry, you got to listen to this name. He used to be an assistant athletic director under Vince. And he got hired away to Auburn 2 years before this game. So Kermit Perry decided to get the people off the field, that he would turn the water hoses on us. And they weren't just little water hoses. They're like fire truck water hoses. And they had one in each corner of the stadium, and they blasted them and drenched everybody on the field. And you won't even believe this one, but rumor has it, I can't get to Gunner to make sure this is true, but I think it is. Gunner's grandfather was a student back then, and he got put in jail for rushing the field. So that's how deep Gunner's red and black blood goes.
Wow. Full circle,
right?
It was a wild, wild night. But anyway, we beat them with 5.5 minutes left. I think we kicked the ball, and it ended up almost in the end zone, but it landed on the 1 yard line, and we kept them from driving 99 yards to make a touchdown. And we won 20-16 that night.
Something in the air. Crazy.
It was unbelievable football game. So you can't depend on Auburn and Georgia to do what they're suspected to do. And in 1980, we beat them 3 years in a row with Herschel. Right. Then we lost to them 3 years in a row. So who knows what's going to happen this year?
Going for 9 wins in a row in this rivalry. Now Georgia's sitting on 8. Are you nervous? It's a night game over there, and what all the everything you just talked about, Barbara. Those fans are going to be bananas. And Auburn has lost some really heartbreaking games. They did enough to beat both Oklahoma and Texas A&M, so they're looking at a third SEC loss. So they're going to be highly motivated.
Well, I think we should be highly motivated too. Oh my gosh, we lost. We lost to Tennessee. So we ought to get in there and dig in and do our best game. And I know the team is psyched up because this game, a coach really doesn't have to say a whole lot. They're ready. And I know this team is ready. So we'll see what happens. Gunner's got to have a great night.
Yes.
Bobo has got to call the right plays. And the line has got to do their job. And, of course, defense. But, you know, I thought it was interesting, week before last, our defense did not look very good.
Mm-mm.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
And Kirby is a defensive genius. Do you think he's quit coaching?
Well, Barbara, we played the audio earlier yesterday. Kirby, he did not sound, in our opinions, very confident talking to the media this week in Athens.
Good. Well, you know what, Coach? Here's another interesting thing. Coach Dye was the coach at Auburn the year of the hoses, and he went to Georgia and played. And Vince, of course, played at Auburn. So we have two competing coaches from different schools. And after the game, they asked Coach Dye was hilarious, and they asked him, what he thought about the hoses wetting down Georgia. And his comment, I'll never forget, was, well, it's Saturday night in Athens and they need a bath.
Wow. Wow. This is a rivalry, as you said. It's the longest standing rivalry in the South, and it's going to be another good one on Saturday night. Barbara, I don't know if you know this, but just to add a little something to it, they are retiring Cam Newton's jersey there on Saturday, and so Auburn's fans are going to be ready to go.
Well, they are going to be ready to go, but let me say this. Our fans will be ready. There's no doubt about that. Mm. It's our teams that we have to worry about.
Mm. Barbara Dooley.
Think about that. Our fans are always ready.
It's true. Dogs travel. They'll travel to Auburn this weekend. Barbara, always a pleasure. Love your storytelling and love you sharing with our audience some of the great moments in Georgia history. Thank you so much. We will talk to you next week. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
Brought to you by Kroger. Awesome. By the way, if you want to get more in-depth, Carlin, the 86 and the battle between the hoses, Mark Schlabaugh has got a great article at ESPN.com that came out today talking about all the things that Barbara was talking about, the rivalry, the behind the scenes, and who made the decision to turn the hoses on the fans. They were on the field.
Yeah, it's stuff like that that makes the rivalry special.
Right.
Right. It's those moments. It's not just winning and losing. It's those moments. And the Gunnar Stockton grandfather story where she adds, like, his dad was a student who got arrested at the game.
Right.
Like, that's nuts. And right. Now he's the starting quarterback at Georgia. That's crazy.
We'll talk more about the game itself coming up. But, I mean, Auburn, they don't really pass block that well. But is this a game where Georgia's pass rush finally gets home? Because they don't particularly rush the quarterback that well.
No.
If we're looking at both Georgia and Auburn in this game.
They both have warts they're going to have to cover right. up. 5380 Windy Bagwell Parkway, guys. And Hiram is where we're at. It's Buffalo's Cafe. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know why it's not outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio 92.9 The Game. Thanks to Barbara Dooley. She never lets us down. Talking about the Dogs in Auburn. And, Mike, while we're here, thanks to everybody who's coming out here today, hanging out with us. We're live at Buffalo's Cafe, 5380 Windy Bagwell Parkway in Hiram. You were just talking about the fact that, they're going into this game, we're talking about Georgia, with, I think, for the first time in a long time, where you don't feel like they're superior across the board.
Right.
There have been games where you just felt like Georgia was better than Auburn. 2 years ago, many of you might have forgotten, but Georgia's struggling. And literally Brock Bowers said, throw me the damn ball, and took the game over, and they had no answers for him, and Georgia finds a way to win on the road. Now they're going back to Auburn, and for the first time in a while, the offensive line, they're question marks. Secondary, you go, all right, how good is the secondary? Well, you saw them against Tennessee. Gave up a lot of explosive plays. They didn't do that last week against Kentucky, but Kentucky don't have the kind of guys on the right. outside that Auburn has. And so
Alabama had.
Correct. And I think you're going to test that this week. Those are the two areas, I said this earlier today to you, that I'm concerned about, where in the past I might have been like, Georgia secondary, way better. O-line, way better. I'm not quite sure what the defense at Auburn presents.
It's just you and I have talked about, you know, Georgia's defense, and you know it bears repeating in this game. You should be able to come in there and just mollywomp that Auburn offensive line. They don't do a good job protecting the quarterback. Georgia's offense, you know, it will do what it does, and we talked about it with Barbara. Hopefully Gunnar will see the things because Bobo is scheming the guys open.
Sure.
He's not seeing them consistently enough. But the numbers, and I saw this in an article from one of the Auburn websites, the Georgia sacking the quarterback. Georgia ranks 125th in pass rush grade for folks at PFF. And here's another stat, Carl. Georgia's 107th in front seven havoc.
Which is
generating heat with your front seven. I mean, sounds pretty – I would imagine that's what it is. I don't know if that's a stat that Kirby would quote, because they're certainly not elite when it comes to front seven havoc. Now, Georgia can run it, but Auburn has a good run defense. You know, Georgia's offense, we know they can run the football, but Auburn, and they've gone against Oklahoma, Texas A&M, physicality. Auburn has held opponents to 2.6 yards per rush. So there you go. I mean, we're talking about a game that it's not a trap. It's just Georgia's not as good as I think Georgia fans expected them to be. Connor Riley did tell us all summer long, temper your expectations, temper your expectations. This is a reality check. This is going to be a hard-fought one-possession game.
I think so, too. 404-726-0929. You guys can let us know what you think as we get ready for a big game this weekend. We will talk plenty about Georgia Tech because we know there are Georgia Tech fans in the house. And look, there can't be any letdown on that side.
They should smoke Virginia Tech. This is a bad Hokie team, brother.
I agree. The difference is they were on the road. They struggled. They came back and won. This one's at home. So you've had a week off.
They beat Wake. Obviously, that was a struggle. Tech lost to Wake.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech. You had a week off. So hopefully Brent Key and his staff are ready to go, man. And now you just gear up for, I think, this stretch run where, to be quite honest with you, they should put themselves in the ACC championship game. Like that. This idea, like Tech's going to screw up. Again, we just talked about the Falcons and, oh, they'll find a way. Tech should be in the ACC championship game. Like, look at their schedule. Handle your business. I don't know if they beat Miami, Mike, but who cares? Put yourself in that spot and let's go see what happens.
Right. Haynes King, if he's doing that super duper Haynes King stuff. You know, we talked about Miami. As much as impressed I was by Miami, now I've seen some subsequent film breakdowns from Hurricane websites where Castellanos was missing wide open guys and just making bad throws and bad decisions. Now, Haynes King, he's going to beat you with the legs first. At some point, Georgia Tech's going to have to get vertical with the passing game at some point. But Syracuse, they're schizophrenic. They just lost badly to Duke. You know, this is a bad Virginia Tech team that, there's a UCLA team that fired their head coach. Look what they did. So it's still the ACC. But a lot of folks, I think Tech fans, feel that Wake Forest was the banana peel, and they avoided it.
They did.
And hopefully now Brent can turn to that and say, hey, guys, we can't come in and fall asleep. Plus, it is a 3:30 start, which I like against Virginia.
I do, too. I think the biggest challenge they've already overcome, which was, can they beat Clemson at home? And once they did that, Mike, I think it gave them the confidence that they needed to, like, okay, we can be a real contender in this conference. Because you always wonder, like, can we get over this hump? This is the squad. This is the team that we're supposed to be able to beat this year for the first time in a while, and they were able to do that. 404-726-0929. Follow us, Mike, on social media, should I say. Follow Mike at Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'em Up, See Dukes. Follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell 929, and follow this radio station. Stay up on everything that's going on in the world of sports. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we'll dive into some of the things Raw had to say, Caden Ellis, as they talk about Josh Allen, and the challenges that the Falcons are going to be presented with, guys, come Monday night. And we've been telling you, we're doing a special show Monday. Just giving you a heads up, 11 to 3 down there at Signia. We'll be on the fourth floor. That's where the big bar is. We'll have a good time. And Randy is going to be a part of it, obviously, as we step in from 11 to 3. We're on earlier and a combination kind of a mashup show because of the Monday night game. So Andy is a part of the pregame show. So Randy's going to jump on, and we'll hang out and have a good time.
Did you guys finish studying your pamphlet?
No, yeah, you mean the eight gave us?
I'm glad you brought this up. I was going to save this for Guy Talk, but I got a lot of stuff for Guy Talk. I'll bring this up. I was driving up here today because, you know, I got to get to Thornton Road, coming all to Hiram, to Buffalo's, and I heard Abe, and he was talking about, there was something about violence. There's a story I've got coming up on the truck driver that Mark Sanchez was battling with.
Okay.
And Abe was talking about somebody, there was a shooting somewhere, and he goes, at the Wahoo. And I'm like, I'm in the car, I'm like, the what? He goes, the Wahoo. And I'm like, all right. And then Randy and Andy go, what are you talking about? He goes, the Waffle House.
The Wahoo.
I've lived this guy knows it right here. There's one. I've lived in the South. I'm 57 now. I've lived in the South like 38, well, a lot more than I older. Half my life in the South. Never heard it called Wahoo.
Make
it's Waffle House.
I've heard it too. Make that two people. I've heard it.
This guy's giving me the side face, the side eye. I'm just telling you. I heard it's other things, and then also to hear Abe say it, it made me doubtful, Carl, that people did say that, because Abe is always on the cutting edge of silly stuff like this.
Yeah, I've never once
in all those years at the Gold Club did I have a stripper say, I'll meet you at the Wahoo. It was, I'll meet you at the Waffle House.
Tell me more about this stripper.
Well, it was usually, Carl, the story, and G Money knows back in his single days, it would always be.
Glad you clarified that.
Where the Home Depot is now and all that stuff. But it was, I'll meet you at the Waffle House. And the old joke is, guys be looking at their watch. All right, I'll give her 2 more hours and I'm leaving.
Of course. You know,
it's 8:30 in the morning. People are going to work.
Of course.
But no, I've never said Wahoo. It's always just been Waffle House.
Yeah, I've never heard that either. And now I got to ask.
How many guys, show a sign, show of hands, have ever called Waffle House Wahoo?
You from here. I gotta
one
ask,
guy.
I got to ask my family that's from here. I ain't never heard that. I've never heard
two ticker. Don't lie. Don't. I don't know, Tinker. I don't know what's going on here. 2 out of 15 people, I said, why? Well, so, and Abe.
Well, what would you imagine? I mean, Abe is sort of an aficionado.
And me. I've also heard of Carl Wahoe before.
Okay. When? Who? How, Sway?
Who?
How? When did you ever say in a conversation to me or anytime, let's go with the Wahoe?
Never. Never. Nobody's ever said that.
I don't know if I've used it in a long, long time, but I have heard it before.
It's not in my vernacular, but I have heard it.
It wasn't uncommon to hear somebody say Wahoe back in the day.
I never, never, ever. Not once.
All right, so has that faded, by the way? Was that a thing back when, and now it's faded? No comment. Okay, good.
And if your friend was cheap, you go to the Huddle Ho.
Or the I-Ho.
Yeah, I-Ho.
By the way,
we're going to the Huddle Ho.
By the way, there's nothing like being on the road. You see that Huddle House, you'd be like, oh, it ain't the same, but I'll go ahead and stop.
I mean, the one thing Huddle House does have at Waffle House is French fries. If you're not a hash brown person,
they do.
Huddle House does have French fries. That is one thing you can say about
them. All right, man. Mike, by the way.
The poor man's Waffle House.
It really is. Speaking of what's coming up, what you got coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, man. I don't know if you've seen the video. It's already gone viral. It's another example of everything that's wrong with the world today. The woman holding up everybody trying to get off the plane. Have you seen this one?
No.
We'll explain. Also, it's one thing to wear a shirt hoping that one of your favorite players will hit the home run to you, and then the whole player hits that home run to you. Talk about what happened with Cal Riley, if you didn't see it, with the Mariners and the Tigers. More on that. Plus, the truck driver that got into it, Mark Sanchez. Now he's in trouble with his boss. We'll explain.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell with our regular crowd and some new faces, making some new friends, guys, here at the Buffalo's Cafe in Hiram. As Carl says, 5 to 10 minutes from everywhere and everyone. So join the party. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. So get your butt over here and say hello. Real quick, before we get to Guy Talk, a bunch of folks reaching out to us on the text line and on Twitter. On Twitter, Criminal Element says, lived here my whole life.
Yeah.
Never, ever heard Waffle House called Wahoe. My mom even had me convinced as a child that Waffle House only existed in Georgia, he says. Conversely, we've got another dude, Josh Youngblood, who says Rehab's got a song, Wahoe by the Hottie, about it.
Okay.
So they've mentioned it. And then I've got other folks on the text line. It's basically running 5-1 for guys that have never heard it called Wahoe, but some have. So, and I just said, I've just never heard it called Wahoe. It's always been Waffle House. So, and I worked in, you know, as I said, I've worked south of the Mason-Dixon line since I was 24. Wahoe?
I've never heard it.
Thank you. No, I'm sticking to my guns. Yeah. I don't buy it, Abe. Never heard of it. Anyway, the reason we've got on Abe's case is he's already overproducing our show that hasn't started yet. It'll be Monday from the Nest on the fourth floor at Signia. All right, man. The truck driver, and there's still a lot of questions, Carl, about what the heck happened. Why was Mark Sanchez? Well, I can tell you why Mark Sanchez was down an alley. Wasn't in his right mind. Just what got him there? You know, is the defense going to be somebody roofied him? Is it going to be that by the way, talking to a criminal defense attorney, of which, Carl, well, not you, but I've got many friends that are criminal defense attorneys. Generally, I call them because I need them. But they were saying the only way they could see this thing going.
I do, too, just in case.
Yes, the only way they saw this thing going when it does get to court is you're going to have to claim some sort of temporary lack of higher function that was drug-induced. And you're going to either say that, you know, you slipped up, or is there going to have, is Mark Sanchez going to have to go to rehab? Mm. Does he have a problem with hallucinogens? Because how do you get so scavozid that you wind up in the loading dock? You've got to put an effort to get to where he was from leaving even the front door of that hotel.
Yeah, look, even if that is the case, he's not escaping the civil suit. So that's the part about this. Whether the criminal stuff sticks or not, he actually serves time, which is probably unlikely. First offense, you know, he's not a major criminal and hasn't had these kinds of things happen. But it's the civil case, Mike, where this gentleman, and we've already said it, he's suing everybody.
Right.
His attorneys have already come out and said, look, you go to the tape. My guy's in his car. Like, he's in the truck, and he's being attacked. I just don't know how you get around that, regardless of what excuse you might use for right. the criminal side of the activities that took
well,
place.
Well, was it Morgan Waller threw a chair off the sixth floor of a rooftop bar in Nashville? He got a slap on the wrist on that one. I don't know how you stab somebody. You know, he got pepper sprayed. He took the weapon from the man's name, Perry Toll, by the way, who was the truck driver. And now we find out that the man involved, the victim, Perry, is in trouble with his employer because he had a weapon in the vehicle. But, I mean, if you're
– Wasn't he glad he had a weapon in the vehicle?
Hell, yeah. I mean, Mark Sanchez was banging your head off the damn loading dock. But, you
like, know, here's where I'm at on that. Like, if you're going to fire me because I saved right. my life because I had a weapon in the vehicle, right. I guess I'm fired.
This guy's making deliveries. It's all the grease and the stuff from the restaurant business. So it's late night. You're in an alley late night. And Indianapolis, like any other major city in America, has got, you know, criminal element, good and bad people. Protect yourself. So, yeah, I mean, he had pepper spray. Then he goes to the knife. Then at some point, Sanchez obviously got his hands on the weapon. But the company that apparently cuts his checks, Restaurant Technologies, says, as this is an active ongoing investigation, we've not made any determination of action in regard to that policy is applicable. But again, the guy might not have made it through if he didn't have that weapon on him. And look, I know a lot of cops, you know, and again, this goes all the way back to the 50s and back then. Guys, Carl, you got your backup piece or you got a blackjack. My dad had one as a detective because you never know if you're in a hand-to-hand situation. You got to protect yourself. Here's a guy who's in pretty funky spots late night.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that. Like, I the employer, in my opinion, should be more concerned about his health and
right.
well-being
and the guy looked
than
like,
whether he broke policy right. when he didn't do anything to invoke this attack.
Right. He looked the worst for wear. Have you seen the viral video of a lady who some people are saying, Carl, is saying it's everything that's wrong with air travel, with entitlement, and people just being oblivious to the needs and concerns of others. There's a woman who's traveling on a flight. It lands in Baltimore, and apparently she's got her daughter. She's in the back of the plane. So instead of just simply staying in her seat, letting the folks out of the aisle and wait till her daughter gets up to her, she stops everyone trying to get off the plane, and they wait. They want her. She wants her daughter to come up to where she is.
No, that ain't happening.
So you're defeating the laws of physics because the flow is going to go that way. You exit the plane to the front. So basically, she's sitting there, then she's getting belligerent and she's arguing with folks. The video will make you just literally scream at the computer if you're watching it. I watched it this morning, and folks are just going nuts. Entitled passenger triggered chaos on the plane. The ordeal, as we said, landing in Baltimore. Frontier Airlines, by the way. That's one step above Spirit. But, yeah, and that Spirit, of course, is a cattle car with wings. They're actually cutting some flights on Spirit.
Are they?
They're struggling, it looks like, financially. But getting back to this one, woman was heard screaming at other passengers to let her daughter, who she claimed was seated several rows behind, to cut through. It's a narrow aisle on a Frontier plane. They're stacking them on those planes. So it's like, lady, why don't you just stay where you are, and your daughter will eventually, with the flow of everyone getting off the plane, get to you.
Yeah.
It's kind of common sense.
Well, it's selfish, first of all. And this is, you know, you're right about entitlement. Who in the hell thinks that you're going to wait until, what is her granddaughter, right? Is that what you said?
It's her daughter. Her daughter.
That she's going to walk to you while everybody's waiting to get off the plane and exit the plane. This is stupid. This is really,
right.
This tells you everything. You're right.
And for those who don't see the physics of it, you know, the video is pretty self-explanatory, but there's a woman going, what is wrong with you?
Right.
I would hate to be your daughter and have to go home with you. No wonder she's sitting back there.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just out there.
I'm surprised that the people allowed it to happen, to
right.
be honest with you, because most people are like, no, that's not happening. I'm going to get off the plane in an orderly fashion and wait my turn.
Flight attendants trying to use logic with her. It's not working. It's upsetting. Things are dropped. But again, that's why we always mention when you have a story about air travel, anytime you travel and you're always looking around. All right, who had too many vodka sodas at the bar? Getting on the plane, it's going to be, because you know, you don't want to be on the plane. All of a sudden, folks, we've got a problem. We're going to have to divert to Amarillo, you know, and next thing you know, you don't make it to Vegas.
Yeah.
Anyway, be smart out there, folks. Common sense. Hey, guess who caught a foul ball last night at the Yankee game?
Who, a kid?
Bad Bunny.
Really?
You didn't see this?
No.
Yeah, man. Bad Bunny sitting behind home plate. And, again, big must-win game. Musician is sitting right behind home plate. Real name, Benito Antonio Martinez Ocasio. He was even seen catching a foul ball during the game. The moment's gone viral. Jay's Anthony Santander, he hits the foul ball into the stands and is basically right next to him. He picks it up, holds it aloft. People realize it's Bad Bunny. Got himself a foul ball.
Pretty cool. What are the odds of that happening, though? Where
right.
he was sitting and the foul ball coming to him and all the news as of late with him playing the Super Bowl. Like
right.
That's crazy.
Not as cool, though, as the fan who caught Cal Raleigh's home run last night. Did you see this? Guy's got his T-shirt that says, Dump Here, referring to, you know, the dumpster. I mean, the big dumper, I should say, his nickname. and he hits his 61st. He had a shirt with a big 61 on it, and it said dump here. And, of course, the ball, it bounces in the bullpen for a home run right into the guy's hand.
Mm.
Later on, he's got a picture with Cal Raleigh. Well, he's back today, and I believe Seattle is winning as we speak. I want to say, is it 3-0 day-day? But he's back here wearing dump here 62 in anticipation of getting another home run. That's pretty good. I mean, first off, you're one of, like, you know, 500 Mariners fans in Motown, and the guy gets the home run to you. It's pretty neat.
Well, to wear the shirt and then the ball to come to you like that. By the way, how many foul balls have you ever caught going to baseball games? Everybody in here has been at least one or one baseball game.
None.
Anybody ever caught a foul ball? You've caught one foul ball?
Anybody?
Never caught a foul ball. And I covered the game for 10 years, and, like, even as a fan sitting there like, I'm not getting that one. It's gone. Nope.
Right.
I've never caught a foul ball.
When I was a kid, I was about 6 or 7. Wayne Garrett, playing third base for the Mets, came over, and we had front row box seats on third base. And he comes over, just, I'm like, but he's like, don't touch it. I'm like, oh. You know, because in the old days, you had common sense. You wouldn't interfere.
Right.
Back in 1974.
If he could make the
catch. You know, with the player. So Wayne Garrett just comes over, boop. And then my dad's like, hey, can he have the ball? Wayne just turns and runs away. So I learned that at an early age. We're all screwed. And if you have hope that there's going to be that kind of Joe Green throwing you the jersey moment, it's not going to happen. Real quick, another reason why my kid brother is the way he is, why he talks like Batman. Hey, Andy, Merry Christmas. How's it going? How's it going? It's a living hell. Okay, Andy, good talk. We'll talk to you next year. Part of the reason my brother is the way he is, the kind of stuff my dad used to pull on him, my brother goes to the bathroom in a Mets game at Shea. My dad comes back. He goes, you're not going to believe it while you're in the men's room. My dad, why a Russian would have a Scottish accent is another question, but hey, let's not ruin the movie. Story just dropped in a defense magazine. Not that I subscribe to it. I just saw the story on Yahoo. This story just got declassified. Two intercontinental ballistic missile submarines, one from England, one from France, in the North Sea in 2009, had a fender bender.
Collided.
They're both running in stealth mode. I guess that's a little too stealthy because neither one knew where the other one was. No, I just saw the story. You can look it up. If just be Googling submarine collision, and apparently the British captain comes back to base. The report was, believe we had some contact. You believe you had some contact. So, I mean, these suckers with nukes. Now, experts say there's no risk that these things would ever go off or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
But imagine these two things had really, you know, done the Dutch and then went down to the bottom like that Kursk.
Well, the thing for me is...
That's a Russian sub that sank, you know, off of Sweden.
Yeah. Mike, the depths of the ocean and you're running into each other?
Right.
Like it's the odds of that happening again are unbelievable when you think about all the things that are going on down there. It's the one place, like you talk about space. We have not yet seen some places in the ocean. And you're
right.
Saying that these two submarines were in the same area at the same time and collided.
Right.
Like, that's hard to believe. Nobody was killed, though. Nothing happened,
nope.
Right?
But, yeah, French and British, so needless to say, somebody probably got suspended. And I guess one of the subs had collision. They had to buff it out. Apparently took out
Who's going to fix this?
One of the conning towers or something.
Who's going to fix
it? Anyway, you can look it up. Yeah, but it's a story. It's out there. Just Google French-British subs. They just declassified. That's why it's out there. By the way, why do they have to kill what's his face?
Who?
In the Hunt for Red October.
Who?
Who's the actor? Who's in the Jurassic Park? Sam, what's his face?
You're talking about the officer.
Yeah, remember the
Russian officer.
Remember the end? I would like to have seen Montana.
Yeah,
that was a buzzkill. They had to kill him.
Remember
he's talking about he was going to get an SUV?
Somebody had to go. It wasn't going to be Sean Connery.
Remember that scene? He goes, I'm over.
They weren't going to kill Connery.
Be careful what you shoot at. Some things don't react well to bullets. But no, I'm just saying that of all the guys, that was kind of a buzzkill for me, you know?
It's a good movie, though.
Watch it every time. It's not.
I'm with you. That's one of those that you click on, and it's like, I've seen this 8 million times.
Anyway, guys, you know the backstory on that? It's another one of those Alec Baldwin like career suicide moves. He was set up for all the movies, the ones that subsequently Harrison Ford did. He overplayed his hand with the negotiation.
Tom Clancy's the
right.
The books,
he was going to do. He's going to be Jack Ryan in all those movies. And they're like, okay, Alec, we have another guy. His name is Harrison Ford. And the rest is history. Right.
Yeah,
and that's kind of Alec's story. Anyway.
You ever read a Tom Clancy novel, by the way?
Involved. Oh, man.
Like the stuff he was
writing
back
in the day. Red
Storm
Rising. I read that probably 5 times when
I was a
kid. You
were like, where is he getting this information? It was like all declassified stuff, like incredible information.
But it turned out he would get some stuff from people in the DOD.
He was right.
From the Navy. But anyway, we're big Tom Clancy guys. I got a room full of guys staring at me like, what?
No, I'm just telling.
Does that book have pictures? Anyway, that's Guy Talk live from Buffalo's here in Hiram.
We are live in Hiram, guys. 5380 Windy Bagwell Parkway in Hiram. Hey, if we're the fellas in here, ladies in here, put your hands together, man. Make some noise in here. We're having a good time.
We're having a good time
in here. Hanging out. Coming up, Falcon Report's on the way. Also, what's up?
Guy just sent us He's got the video of Charlie from Always Sunny in Philadelphia with his conspiracies. And basically get like 15,000 pieces of paper. It says, Abe working on Dukes and Bell's show sheet for
it's
next
true.
Monday.
This is true. That's what it looks like.
Right.
He came to us a week early. And now what are we calling Waffle House? What are we calling it?
I refuse to say it.
I'm not saying that.
Even Tinker said the only people that say that are the real goober relatives of his that live way north. The guys that Squidbillies are based on.
All right, man. Coming up, questions now about Bill Belichick. Believe it or not, stories are out there saying they are looking potentially at an exit. We'll dive into that. Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell.
Serving good food fast, this Southern favorite is known as Waho for short. AJ,
what's a Waffle House?
That's it.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.